Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are home in a new home. We say Towson, Baltimore. This is Timonium. We're out here at the racetrack. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have the Back to the Future scratch-offs. I've been giving these out. I hope somebody at the bar wins. We had a beautiful conversation with Pete and with Christine about the new location. Don't come out here looking for crabs or they'll give you crab cakes. You got to go to Dundalk, down where this guy resides and where my homeland is and where I last saw him. It was like a scene out of like a Bogart movie or something. It was like 10 o'clock at night. My kid and I and my daughter-in-law are in Costas and Dundalk, and I looked down. And it was almost like you were in a trench coat or so. It was cold out. You're there. You look like you hadn't shaved in a couple days. You were with your dad. I was rinsing all the crab goo off my hands. It was just us. And I looked, and I'm like, Congressman Baltimore County, I don't know what to call you. I call you Johnny O.
That's right.
But Congressman Oshevsky, that I feel like I can't call you Congressman O. That's not formal enough for you.
Congressman Johnny O is fine.
All right, Congressman Johnny O is here of Dundalk, of Sparrows Point, of wherever. And saw you and your dad that night. You looked a little beleaguered. You looked like you were having dad time. And it was crazy because I'm there with my kid.
So I had just finished, it was like 10, so it was a long day of district events. My father was there having dinner with friends, but I hadn't seen him in a while, so I was trying to also be a good son. No, I met him there. He had been there. I was stopping by on my way home, so
it looked like you were having family time.
Try to be a good member of Congress and a good family,
son.
Family guy, son, dad, husband, yes.
All right, before I let you filibuster,
but it is good to be in Timonium. Here at the new Casas, here at the another great institution, the Maryland State
Fair. You just
Fair.
Walked in here for the very first time, right?
This place looks
first,
great.
First impressions, and then we'll get to politics.
Is that this is going to be a place that is rocking for Ravens games that are away. Maybe even home games.
There's sort of an unlimited amount of space, too.
But see like this space just filled with purple and black, and the place going crazy when we...
An Oriole playoff game this year. Probably not. You're not quitting on them, are you? Not
unpopular take. I'm not quitting.
They're nine games under 500.
They're seven.
Come
games
on,
under
I'm trying to take
seven.
You seriously it's here with government. Don't talk
it's
me into this.
Seven games under 500. If we are,
go ahead.
But look it up.
I'll look.
We'll
it
see
up.
Who's close. I bet you I'm closer. If we
He's
can get
with the sports
if
guy,
we,
but go
if
ahead,
we can get
fine.
To like four games out, four games under 500.
40 and 49. That's nine.
Okay.
I watched
Did
the
team. Did we
just
lose the last two?
No, they won three in a row,
we're
but they were 12
games,
under.
So are we six games out of the wild card then? Is that
when
what it is?
When people listen to this, they're not going to care.
Okay. If we are four or five games out of the wild card, come All-Star
Don't
break.
Be a buyer. Don't be foolish. Come on.
I'm not saying I'm buying. I'm just saying there's
I voted for you. I trusted you with government. Come on, man. Johnny O is here.
Pitchers first, get healthy.
Seriously, first
go on
impression
a street.
To this is like this,
this
is an amazing
This place is awesome.
Thing, right?
It is a very large open space, but my understanding is that people have been responding, both people who are from the Southeast are coming out here to check it out, and then also some new folks. Which
what
is
year
great.
Were you born?
1982.
You are my son's age. Weird. Really weird. But the Costas says 71. I was alive when. Do you remember the first time you were in Costas with your dad or whatever? Maybe you're like a six-year-old boy getting a Shirley Temple.
You know,
or?
I feel like I've been growing up
in
Costas.
You've never,
so
not
just never not known Costas.
I'm like that with Squires. I don't really know when
I
first
don't remember
walked
the first
in there.
Time. It just
I mean,
feels like I'd always been there.
I just
there.
Got a Shirley Temple, and it was 1973, whatever, you know. So to walk into a different Costas for the first time 5 minutes ago, it's a little bit of a... I think anybody that comes out here the first time, they're going to be like, oh, wow, look at this. This is It's one giant big room.
Yeah,
so it is different.
It feels familiar enough with the wall being the same as the dining room. You've got a bar, but like it's sort of like the Costas. It's sort of the Dundalk one like just merged into one. You get the bar and the dining room all in one.
All right, well, I'm going to make sure you get good food out here. What's the job and like easing into the job? I've been talking to your wonderful assistant, Jamie, who I've known since Dutch and – all of that, and it must be nice not just to smooch up to your assistant who's helped everything out, but having people around you who know the work of Congress in that you studied it, you went to school for it, I taught social studies, you did all that, ran the county, but once you get down there, I just look at it as it's a very different kind of job, right?
Yeah, incredible honor, having started my career teaching young people about just how important and fragile our democracy is, and now to be at the, you know, the halls of power where the biggest decisions are made in the United States Congress is incredibly humbling and rewarding for me. I'm lucky. I've got an incredible team, including Jamie. She was Dutch's comms director. She's agreed to stay on his mind, which I appreciate. About a third of our team.
Well, she knew you needed the help.
Well, about a third of the team are returning Dutch alum. A third are folks who came with me from Baltimore County who are now serving in our congressional office. And a third are predominantly new Hill staffers that have been on the Hill, have experience, but are also helping us get acclimated to the new environment. And it is a new environment.
What did Dutch tell you about the gig? I mean, you've known him. He's a mentor to you in many ways. But, like, when you really sat down and you won and you knew you were going to win and you knew this life was changed, let alone what's going on with Kathy in the county, which I went through that with Julian last week. I went that through Izzy. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get everybody on. But what you thought the job was going to be and what Dutch warned you about.
Dutch has been great. He's been a friend and a mentor for a long time, and he's been so consistent and just talking about how relationships matter. And he's been someone who's always lamented the decline of bipartisanship. And unfortunately, I'm catching the tail end of that when I think it's at its worst. I came into the job as someone who led a county with four Democrats and three Republicans on the county council, and everything we did now, everything was bipartisan. We tackled police reform, gun safety legislation,
David Marks
budgets.
We have tackled
some of the hardest issues, open space, school funding. I mean, you name it, we've done it. And the county is better and stronger because of the way that we tackled the work. Openness, town halls. You get to Congress, and it's so much partisan bickering, and there's so much performance. People are almost rewarded for being extreme and for, you know, saying provocative things. And as someone who worked in local government before going there, it is just so frustrating. But Dutch warned me. I will say that.
Well, you wouldn't have been running county government if you acted like that.
You wouldn't have gotten voted on.
You wouldn't have been respected by police or fire. Any of the really important parts of the tentacles of government, you can't behave like a fool. Well, I can't do that on the radio. Somebody accused me. I got rough with somebody. I got rough on a text. Came up to me and said, "You say things to stir things up." And I'm like, "You listen to my show. If that's all I did, I wouldn't be here that very long." I feel the same way, but like, these people are getting voted on.
Yeah.
That crazy lady down in Georgia, like, I can't imagine you're in the same role as her. And I'm thinking, when you go to shake her hand, I'm thinking they won't even shake your hand there. Like, on the other side of the team. That's how bad it is now, you know?
Some people won't. But I've made an intentional decision that I literally cross the aisle. So there's a horseshoe where we sit, where Democrats tend to sit on one side, Republicans tend to sit on the other. And more often than not, I'll walk across and just check in with people who are part of my freshman class or people that I've met on my committee to just say, "Hey, how was your weekend? How are your family? How are your kids? How was your 4th of July?" Because I think Dutch had it right about just how fundamental relationships are and how this place has gotten away from that. It's become about, how do I score political points? How do I fundraise? How do I go viral? How do I get on Fox or MSNBC or whatever the case may be?
And how do I win the hardest wing of my party to win primary and primary?
Yeah, and then you have these seats.
There are very few purple anything in this country anymore,
that are cut up in a way that are intentionally meant to elect either extremely conservative Republicans or extremely liberal Democrats. And the primaries become the election. I'm lucky enough that I have a district where it is overwhelmingly Democratic. I think most reasonable Democrats can and should and will win the way this seat is currently drawn. But I'm so lucky that I have a district that is willing to let me continue to be that voice of moderation and reason and partnership. And look, I'm a Democrat. I make no apologies about that. More often than not,
what can you be moderate on in your job?
Fiscal issues. I've already passed two pieces of bipartisan legislation. So I'm starting on the small stuff. So we've passed the port security bill. So, like, public safety is something where Democrats and Republicans should be able to work together. And we passed a port bill that's going to have the United States look at alternatives to investment. So China is buying up ports. They're buying up port infrastructure and materials. When we bought those new cranes for the 50-foot berth at the Port of Baltimore, it was a Chinese-owned company that is the largest manufacturer of cranes in the country, in the world, sorry.
In the world.
In the world. So we bought from them. The Port of Baltimore bought from them.
So cranes, when I go to Vegas and see 30 cranes in the sky.
They're probably Chinese.
They're probably Chinese, okay.
But those cranes that came to Baltimore had spy equipment on them. The FBI found spy equipment on cranes that were sold to Baltimore replaced by a Chinese-owned, state-owned company. So, but we can accept that that threat is real and do something about it together, or we can make it partisan. And so we were able to make that bipartisan. The chairman, Roger Williams, of my small business committee, so I'm on foreign affairs and small business, we passed a workforce bill that makes graduates of workforce programs have more access to just small things like that. And I'm just a believer that if we can agree to be collaborative on these smaller, quote-unquote smaller things, that we can get to a point where, as we talk about the big ugly bill, as I call it, that we could be more bipartisan on issues of taxation and spending.
Johnny O is here. We're at Costas and Timonium, first time. I'm trying to get my civics and my schoolhouse rock together here. It's first time I've had you on. I haven't had Dutch on in a couple years either. Dutch was really into cyber, you know, at a period of time, and I saw him give lectures 15, 20 years ago. The Chinese threat and the Russian threat and the internet itself and what AI is, and I'm using this summer to get AI'd up. Literally this week, this down week, mm-hmm. Luke's and Wildwood eating Max Pizza and the Orioles are in last place. So I'm literally AI'ing a little bit
but
this week.
But they're 6 games out of the wild card. I can admit I was wrong on how far
I'm
behind
gonna
there.
I'm going to have you back next month and we'll get serious with issues here in America. But the notion that the country's so divided, you go down there and this bill, which really is everybody's nightmare on our side of the fence from last year in regard to all of it, just all of it. The fact that Stephanie McMahon's mother's running education and Dan Bongino is running guns and Kristi Noem is putting people like me in cages and the president's saying they're going to eat us like alligators. And I don't know who would find this to be appealing, but this guy got voted on, and every day you're putting out fires that just aren't – they're self-inflicted wounds to our nation in so many ways. When you talk about foreign committee, I mean, I cannot imagine. I sat at a bar stool in Toronto opening day weekend and just heard Canadians just rail about how screwed up America is.
Yep.
Everybody else in the world – I don't want to do his – they're laughing at us, but – they're questioning what's going on over here.
America has been the leader of the free world for the last 30-plus years. Our standing is absolutely being questioned by our allies and our adversaries alike.
Can we trust America?
Yeah.
Can we trust
people
America?
Are openly asking that question. Well, our allies are asking that question, and our adversaries are telling the world that you can't trust America. And as we pull back from food investments and education investments and military investments around the world, you better believe that China is stepping in to fill that void. You better believe that Russia is stepping in to fill that void. And so,
or Saudi Arabia is looking to buy it, whatever it is.
Or whatever it is,
whether it's
right?
a golf tour or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, and so, I mean, I just think that, look, are there efficiencies to be had? Sure. Like, I led efficiency efforts in Baltimore County. We saved tens of millions of dollars by looking at things with a really refined deep dive into our operations. We partnered with our employees to figure out where we were doing things wrong and how we could be better. The chainsaw that's been taken to the federal government and the disregard with which programs are just being slashed and gutted, the effects won't be fully felt and realized for years to come. But rest assured, our country will be less safe and less secure as a result of our work internationally and domestically. And so, you know, there are parts, I mentioned that the quote-unquote big, beautiful bill. It was big in terms of how it ballooned the deficit. It was not beautiful in terms of some of its impact. There are provisions that I support. And so I'll be the first one to say, like, no tax on tips. Here for it. People, restaurants like this work hard. But guess what? It's only the first $25,000 of tips, and you have to itemize. How many restaurant workers do you think itemize? So it's there are some nuance even to the things that I support. But I support lowering taxation on Social Security. I support ending tax on overtime. Those are things that would have passed overwhelmingly in a bipartisan fashion if they were put on the floor as a standalone measure. But they weren't, because those were the things that were popular. And so we said, well, if you don't pass this bill, you're not for those other things, which is not true. But then you also load it up with the largest cut to healthcare in American history. $300 billion of cuts to food supports across this country through SNAP reductions. The largest wealth transfer in our country's history taking money from the middle class and giving it to billionaires and the ultra wealthy.
And while we're funding a modern Gestapo to put people like me in cages, I'm very displeased. I thought I was white the first 30 years of my life. I grew up in Archie Bunker's Nundog. Mm. I didn't identify. I identified as Hispanic. I'm not white. I mean, there's clearly, and my brothers aren't. And you know, one of my brothers was born in Venezuela and lives here and has a family here, and his kids are in college.
And the fear-mongering that has even people who are American citizens or people who...
He's talking about my father being born in Venezuela and throwing me out because of that, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is that
Well, I mean, the president's also said that we're going to turn to citizens next. And so, like, it's sort of like, where does all this end? I think we have to be very mindful of what's happening
in
this country.
I mean, I this is where I ask my congressman, like, a real, what is ICE and where the hell did it come from? And what, who's their boss? Where are the ID badges?
ICE is a federal law enforcement agency under Homeland Security. So they are, it's Immigration Customs Enforcement. Their job is supposed to be more than just immigration, right? So they're supposed to help monitor.
Well, they've always been there. It's just it's a term now, mm-hmm. the last mm-hmm. 8 months, because it's been
it's been associated with doing incredibly unlawful things. Yeah, and I think that most Americans would agree that if you are a violent criminal who's not here legally, you should be deported. But I also think most of America would say we shouldn't be rounding up people who are either American citizens or maybe who aren't here with legal status, but who have, like, given their entire lives in restaurants or on the Eastern Shore picking crabs or picking food on farms, the jobs that nobody wants, paying into programs, paying into taxes when they cannot collect Social Security or actually benefit from Medicaid. There's a lot of, like, fear-mongering about, you know,
well, it comes
undocumented immigrants don't.
So I beat you up for a while during COVID about getting my elementary school open. Remember, mm-hmm. we had fun with
sure.
that on the
yeah.
air.
And yeah.
we were getting the school open, and I was there the day we opened it. I think it was in 21, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. And we were actually on the front end of opening schools and restaurants in Baltimore.
But we all had masks on outside mm-hmm. that day. Mm-hmm. Kids mm-hmm. had masks on. Kids came out and sang a song. I cried. I went in. My school. It's all incredible. And I looked around, and like a lot of the kids look like me.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I talked to the principal, lovely lady, she's still there, and I said to her, how many children, you know, my son lives in my childhood home. My
yeah.
son lives in that neighborhood
mm-hmm.
with a Hispanic last name. We were the only Hispanics in the neighborhood, us and the Flores in the 70s and 80s. Mm. They were from Colombia, and I wasn't a family. I was an adopted Hispanic kid.
Mm-hmm.
But there were no other Hispanic people in our neighborhood. No one spoke Spanish in my neighborhood. No one.
Mm.
It was... The number she gave me in 2021 was 58%.
Mm-hmm.
58% Hispanic. I went back last year. We had our 100th anniversary of Colgate Elementary.
Nice.
And we had you and Kevin and
yeah.
Jim Smith put money together and built a new school. And it's helped property value in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It's done all of that. I went this time, and there weren't a lot of people at the festival that day. And I looked around, and everybody who was there was Hispanic. And I asked the police officer, who actually played on the blast years ago, who was the police officer assigned to the district, and they told me the number is now 72%.
Mm.
72% of the people that went to my elementary school in East Baltimore County are Hispanic. And I asked, how many of their parents speak English? And they said, zero.
Mm-hmm.
And my son and I, the night we saw you at Costas about 5-6 weeks ago, my son said something to me after the second Orange Crush. And he said,
that's always after the second
he said
Orange
to
Crush.
Me, last summer that he and his wife went to Amsterdam, they did the Anne Frank tour. You ever done that?
I have not.
One of the most powerful 2 hours of my life to be in that house and be trapped in that house because they trap you in the house and they shut the lights off and there you are.
Mm.
Have at it.
Mm.
You're hiding from the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm. And you're in the same house and it's the size of my house in Dundalk, the size of a little row house in Dundalk. And I said to my son said to me, he's like, Dad, and his wife said this too, it's like Anne Frank.
Mm.
In our neighborhood, everybody pulls the shades down
because
they're afraid of the boogeyman. They're afraid of ICE.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid that their boss is getting pulled up to out them
mm-hmm.
because my son speaks to these people in the neighborhood. This is This is in my childhood home. Yeah. This is my home. This is the elementary school that you built and we built.
Well, and these are people who are beautiful Americans. In our church and whose kids are playing in our little leagues and who are serving us in restaurants and cleaning our...
It upsets me to tears, Johnny. It does. Yeah. It really eats at me.
What's missing in our politics and in our engagement in general is just compassion. Like, it is just care and compassion for other people is a lost commodity. And,
oh, yeah.
And our politics brings out the worst of it. And it targets and it amplifies the worst in people. And people cheer it and they champion it. And that is why... Like I was saying earlier, I am grateful that I have a district that gives me the grace and the space to go in and try to call that out in a way that
these are our neighbors
stirs the conversation.
Better yet,
that people who are churchgoers, people who are like me, Christians, to say
this isn't Christian.
What would Jesus do? Like, I mean, to the most basic of level. Like, we don't have to get into quoting.
What would a good person do? What would a good person do?
But it's about welcoming.
What did your mother teach
welcoming
you?
Welcoming the stranger, visiting him in jail, feeding the hungry, tending to the sick. That is what we're called to do as people, and as Christians, right? And so, but that sense of care and compassion for each other has been lost. And so we can disagree about what the process is for people. This is a nation who was built. I mean,
on immigrants.
Costas Inn would not exist, but for a Greek
immigrant.
Yeah,
funny accent. That's why he never did the show, because he had a funny accent, and he thought people would judge that. He literally, Mr. Costas, never did my show because of his accent. Christine and I were just talking about it
one of the kindest and most generous and successful.
But nobody should have ever made him feel like less of an American because of that. That's terrible.
He worked his tail off building the American dream.
By the way, you got your American flag hat on. I want to give you this because you've been to a couple heritage fairs in your day. Mm-hmm. By the way, it was good. Mm-hmm. We had good weather.
The weather.
The bands were good.
I hope that this year was successful.
Well,
we don't have to worry about it.
I know about that. So I was over there on Friday. Friday night.
We put the largest grant in place from the county in its history before I left to try to help keep it solvent for one more year. Because year 50 would have been a tough year to say goodbye to the Heritage
Fair. I hope that 51's right around the corner.
51 should be roaring, that's right.
I'm hoping. But I was over there Friday when they dedicated, and I know you've been there for all that at 7 o'clock when they come up, and Johnny Ray's up there, and Fogles, and everybody's doing their thing, right? And they shouted me out, and I smiled, and they shouted at the people, and they did all this stuff. And then they brought on the Mahoney Brothers. And the Mahoney Brothers started their act. I thought they were just Beatles. By the way, the Mahoney Brothers, really, really good. They did some Beach Boys, did some Chicago. But they opened, and the dude had a Neil Diamond. You know, red satin. He was Neil Diamond. Bum, 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 bum. Far, we've been traveling far. You know, so.
We're going to put you on stage next year.
So they're doing this, and I'm there, and I'm. Free, only want to be free. They come into America. So I'm sitting there, and there's people dancing, and I'm looking around, and everybody's got a MAGA hat on, right? I'm looking around. It's Dundalk. And I'm thinking to myself, are you listening to the words of this song? It's what this song is about. I started to cry. I got upset. I've been getting upset about this a lot. I got upset 5 minutes with you. But, like, I'm thinking to myself, what did that represent for my father, for my grandfather from Italy, for Mr. Costas as we sitting here with his kids?
Yeah.
This is an insane, racist, awful thing that I never thought you would be in D.C. fighting. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we fought all our lives against this. How is the last 10 years? How is this? And do you have any hope for our audience going down there that this is a temporary... That we're going to have a heritage fair with a bunch of Hispanic people 10 years from now, and they're going to be welcome to bring a Puerto Rican flag in if they want and celebrate, because Puerto Rico's America, too.
There was a Hispanic group that performed last year at the heritage fair.
Good. Let's get two next year.
I'd say
three if you count me.
Organizers, I think, have done a good job of recognizing that our community is changing.
When I stood in the heritage fair, everybody's speaking Spanish.
And yet,
it was beautiful.
And yet... We're still the same, right? And so, like, we want to make sure that the ways in which we let the generations before build their version of the American dream, we should be asking ourselves, how do we help those here now build the version of the American dream and continue that? And it shouldn't be through division. It should be through multiplication.
Oshesky, you're a real American.
Well,
right?
I was going to say, like, a kid with a long last name that ends in S-K-I that no one can pronounce, so much so that, like, we just went with Johnny O, I mean, is now a member of the United States Congress. I'm only a couple of generations removed. I'm sure that my great-great-grandparents, when they came over from Poland, could not speak English very well, if at all.
Somebody on my Facebook page, some cultist on my page, said something about speaking the language that people came here, they had to, that made you real American to speak the language. I'm thinking, do you know how many mamacitas and old Polish women and old Italian women I met in the 70s when I was a boy who were in the basement, literally from the old country, and never learned the language? Didn't make them unwelcome in America any more than Kostas Triantafylos was not welcome in this country. That's the part that I don't understand, the mindset that this could be effective politically in corners of our country. Couldn't be effective in Baltimore County, right? I mean,
there are pockets of Baltimore County that believe that. And that's why I think.
But in a general sense, we are a really integrated county.
Oh, for sure. Baltimore City, Baltimore County, we're very welcoming. We're very integrated.
So it makes us functional, man.
Sure.
You know?
Well, but even with ICE, so I did not support deputizing Baltimore County Police, for example.
Neither did Kevin, right?
Correct.
Right.
But we did work with ICE, especially before this administration, when they said, look, if we have, like,
gang activity,
folks that we were trying to, like, get, I was like, we will give you as much notification. Like, we can't keep people without a judicial court order, but we will work with you to give you as much notice as possible so that you, if you really want to get them and really get go after and get
keep
unsafe
criminals, people off our streets.
Correct.
Right.
But again, I think it's all about, like, finding that common ground where 80% or more of the public will agree somewhere between here and here. We've lost that. What we hear in our politics now is the 5% and the 5% screaming at each other. And everybody in the middle gets left behind.
But you weren't unelectable. You got elected with it, yeah, I mean, and supported for your work in the county and all that. So it wasn't like you're,
I was
by
lucky.
My version, moderate. I don't know what makes you moderate. You know what I mean? Like, you describe yourself as someone moderate, but fiscal issues and bridges and port security and crime, those you can be moderate on those issues, but where?
But I just care about people. We also set up the first Office of Immigrant Affairs in Baltimore County. We also passed police reform after George Floyd. We also passed gun safety legislation about gun shop security. And we did it with Republican support in the legislation, too.
Those are not liberal concepts. Those are
it's all
human
about,
concepts.
Well, that's the thing, is that, like, it's when you want to paint someone with a brush, you can. But if you just care about people and you have that care for others, it changes the conversation. It changes the dynamic where it's less about, like, are you a conservative or a Republican? Are you a Democrat? Or it's like, do you care about me? Will you engage in the conversation about hard issues? And can we try to work together to finding a solution? And that's what's wrong with our politics today.
Johnny O's here. I'm going to let him eat a couple of his chicken wings. His first meal at the new Kostas in Timonium. He's had so many in Dundalk, he doesn't remember how many he's had. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'm back to the future. I'm going to let you filibuster a little bit more about the big, ugly bill, and let's go through piece by piece how this is screwing up Baltimore County, Maryland, your district, the country, and all that. All right?
Yep.
Give you a chance to think about that. Do we do enough local? We good?
I think we're good.
All right, Johnny O's here. He is our congressman. Happy to have him. We're out here at Kostas and Timonium doing it special because he has to go to D.C. on Thursday, but I'm back on Thursday. I had big shot Steve Rouse coming by on Thursday.
Right,
yeah.
Look at you.
I only listened to him 10,000 times, so I haven't had Steve Rouse on the show, so he's going to be coming on Thursday here at Kostas. And a guy named Schuller that apparently was in the Johnny O political tree.
Oh, yeah.
He
Todd
wants to
Schuller.
Come and filibuster as
you
well.
You should have him. He's a great
Bannister
conversationalist.
Schuller.
I will listen to that episode.
Well, he says no one listens when he does my show, but everybody hears. Back for more at Kostas. Stay with us. We're with Johnny O.